At 23, my life changed forever. I was depressed, anxious, and scared. I didn't feel like my life had meaning. I didn't know what would happen if I stepped into my truth. On the other hand, I knew I had to make a change. I had to start taking responsibility for my life. Because I knew the change I wanted to see first had to begin inside of me. Hi, my name is Chris. That was the moment I started living openly. Today we're talking about dreams, and I get the pleasure of talking to Joshua Church. Do you go by Josh or Joshua? Which one is the one that you prefer?
Yeah, you know, I introduced myself as Joshua. It was always the name that my mom called me when she when I was in trouble when I was younger.
Joshua.
Joshua, right? But
what's your middle name?
I always went Dean.
Joshua Dean. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I always so I always grew up hearing Joshua when I was in trouble. But then as I got older, I made the shift from Josh to Joshua, because Joshua was the name that I was actually given at birth. And it's a really powerful, strong name. And I started liking that name. So I started introducing myself as Joshua. Obviously, if I introduce myself as Joshua and someone calls me Josh, I'm not like, oh, actually, it's Joshua. Can you call me Joshua? But it is the name that I go by.
You know, I've always been very intentional about calling people by their name and the name that they want to be called. No, by their real name. Not right. Just because sometimes, you know, there's certain people that may have a harder name to pronounce than others. And they'll say, well, my name is Tracy. I'm like, your name's not Tracy.
Right.
I'm going to call you whatever your real name is.
Exactly.
Give me a shot. I may not get it right the first time, but give me a shot. And because I think when I grew up, I remember people truncating my name automatically. It was like Christopher is my name. That's the name my mom calls me, but everyone calls me Chris.
Right.
And that in itself is almost like an identity crisis. It's like, who do you go by? And I remember like every time, like in school, on the first day of school, the teacher always asks, do you go by Chris or do you go by Christopher? I'm like, I don't know. I don't care. You know, you say that. Yeah. And I mean, at the time, it's not really that big of a deal. But as it goes on, you're like, who am I? Like, am I Chris or am I Christopher? Which one should I go by? And it just starts to lead to, you know, who are you and how are you showing up in this world? And one of the things I love about Joshua, the name Joshua, is one of the best places in California, the Joshua Tree. And it's just that there's, and then Joshua is also like a book in the Bible, right?
Totally.
So, and you want to know something funny?
Yeah.
We both have biblical names. Did you know that?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Christopher. That's right.
I'm amazed that you got that.
My whole family has, my siblings are biblical names. Rachel, Jacob, my cousins, Isaac and Aaron, David. So we got all the biblical names running through the family.
Do you come from a religious background?
Yeah. So I was raised Jewish. My dad with the last name Church, not Jewish, clearly. But my mom was Jewish immigrant from Morocco. So they decided to raise us Jewish. And it's one of the things as I get older that I'm the most grateful for, especially the older you get, just to have a religion, have a culture, have a wisdom within a certain part of your life to be able to dig deeper into and just to learn more of and to become more part of. It's been a very cool thing.
Yeah. So like I said earlier, I wanted to kind of talk about dreams, and the real subject is building your dream versus building someone else's dream. And what does that look like? And how do we make those choices? And one of the first questions that I just want to start off with is, why do we follow other people?
Good question. I think it's an interesting question because and what that means today, why do we follow other people? The first thing my mind goes to is social media. That's the act of what we do on social media is following other people.
Yeah,
following
that button.
And I think we follow people because we see somebody who is living their life in a certain way that is attractive to us, and whatever that might be. They're living, and in my mind, it's usually they're living authentically. They're doing or acting authentically in whatever that authenticity looks like for them. And that's what we're attracted to. That's what we gravitate towards. So I think that's why we follow other people, is because people are waiting to be led. Like, we're waiting for leaders to grab our hand and be like, yo, we're going this way, let's go. Because most people are just teetering on the edge, and there's few leaders who are certain or have conviction in their path or what they're doing. And we need those leaders. We need those leaders to have that conviction, to lead with that authenticity, to be able to pave the path for us. Because if they're doing it, then I can do it too. They're going forward. They're paving this path in the snow. They're walking forward. I can follow their path. I can follow their line. It's a lot easier. It takes a lot less energy or fear or risk to do that versus to go pave your own path. And I don't, and I think that by following somebody in particular, you can be paving your own path in the same direction that somebody else is going.
So what I think is the first thing that really came to my mind was The Road Not Taken, because that's one of my favorite quotes. I mean, books or poems by Robert Frost, The Road Not Taken, and Taking the Road Less Traveled. And, right. And then thinking about what you said about people want to be led, where are they being led to?
It's a good question. Somewhere, anywhere. And you see this too with beautiful movements and movements that have created a lot of good in the world. And you see this also with the opposite. You see this with evil movements or movements that have created a lot of harm, is that somewhere perceivedly better, somewhere perceivedly towards a better version of the reality of myself, of the world around me. That's where they want to be led to. They want to be led to this idea of being led somewhere means that you're going to be on a journey towards a destination that is ideally better than where you're currently at, because that's that intrinsic desire for improvement.
So my background in entertainment business and television specifically, mm-hmm. one of the biggest things that I always reminded myself and reminded the people that I was around is that what people are looking for is a mirror. Mirrors reflect themselves. And so when they follow, usually they're following people that reflect an idea or hope or something that reminds them of who they are, who they want to be. Mm-hmm. It's almost as if it's possible. It's like that dream that it's possible because I see it. And oftentimes there's a lot of groups of people and cultures that don't see that dream to make it a reality. Mm-hmm. And so they don't have anyone to follow. You know, I know just thinking about representation being Black, gay, boy, mm-hmm. there's not too many people to follow. And so right. That's what you're saying in essence is like, we need those leaders to rise so mm-hmm. that there are people to follow so that the path can be a little bit more clear, because it's not so much about who we're following and where they're taking us as much as it, you're clearing pathways to go towards the direction where you want to end up, and they look like they're a little bit further ahead than you.
Yeah, that definitely. That's really well said. And that's why it's up to, I think all of us has the potential to be a leader in that way, because nobody is uniquely like ourselves. Like, where else we wouldn't exist, right? We are unique, one of a kind. And so we can own our own authenticity. I think that's the thing that ties everything together, is it's owning your authenticity. It's owning who you really are and sharing that light with the world. And we can find people who are doing it in similar ways. We can find people who are sharing similar parts of ourselves, but nobody can truly do it all uniquely. You are a unique expression of that. So right. I love that. And I totally agree with you there.
Yeah, and the thing is, what living openly is about, it's about being authentic. It's about being your true self. And it's also about sharing your story. And that is what these people are doing, in essence. They are sharing their story, their authentic story, because people can tell the difference between the truth and non-truths sometimes, right?
Yeah.
But it's about being able to share that part of you that allows someone else to know that, A, I'm not alone. And what that does, it frees you to know that you can do more, you can be more, and there's more connection. And there's such a hunger for connection. And if this pandemic did not teach us anything, it's that people crave connection, because this isolation has been almost unbearable, like really unbearable to people. And people have just, they've literally risked their lives for connection, to just go out. They're like, I don't care right now. I just want to be around someone. I want to be able to fellowship. I want to be able to be in community. And this whole looking at people on a screen is not working for me.
Yep.
Especially like when I think about the five love languages Gary Chapman talks about, and that there's people that are, touch is their number one love language.
Yeah.
Just imagine those people not having someone to touch. And then you have the quality time, where this kind of seems like quality time, but it's like a long distance relationship, right?
Right.
Like,
right.
Does that really, that doesn't really fulfill you in all the different ways that you really are looking to be fulfilled. And so now that we're rising out of this pandemic, people are looking for more. They're reevaluating a lot of their choices. And that's where I wanted to ask you next is, how do you choose your leaders and choose who to follow? What are you looking for?
Yeah, that's a great question. And by the way, not only the quality time and the touch as a love language, it's a human language beyond all that as well, right? It's like some people have it as their leading love language, like myself, but all humans need it. And there's amazing studies, obviously, that show the effect of physical touch and bonding with a mother child and with other humans, and indeed, and just the rise of neurochemicals, the flood of neurochemicals that are released when we are hugging or holding somebody. So I totally hear you on that. How do I choose who I follow? How do I choose the leaders? I think, like you said, I like to believe that you can't fake authenticity. Now, you can fake authority, you can fake credibility, and I think that's what we're seeing a lot of in the internet world today. You can fake that, I believe, but you can't fake authenticity. Somebody who is authentic and is genuine and genuinely sharing something because they feel called to, they feel inspired to, and genuinely called on a mission that they are moving towards, that's what inspires me. And those are the people that I follow. Someone who is genuine about their approach and is authentically showing up in a way that is utilizing their gifts. That's what I love. Not just the things that they should be doing because everybody else is doing them, but they're doing it in a way that's utilizing their own gifts, their own purpose through that way, exercising that. That is what's very attractive to me. And those are the people that I learn from, and those are the paths that I follow.
So who do you not follow? If you follow those people that are authentic, and you know the difference, and you're deciphering the difference, then there's obviously people that you choose not to follow.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would say, and those is it people
whatever's the opposite?
Yeah. I think it's like, I'm not going to follow somebody who's standing at a destination that I don't want to be. So somebody who's preaching or talking about, or the proof is kind of in the pudding. So what I mean by that is, like, am I going to follow or listen to somebody who is living a life that's not aligned with my values or principles that one day that I want to be at? Or is this someone, so for example, is like, is this person really happy? First and foremost, like, are they genuinely happy about their life? Are they, you know, are they sharing it in a great way, or are they taking whatever wealth they're creating and buying cars with it, which is totally fine. You can do whatever you want to do, but that's not also like, I don't want to follow someone. It's like, what are you in it for? So I think that's an important piece for me. And then, you know, how is this bringing value to my life in an inspiring way? Like, is this person going to a place that I similarly want to go to?
Yeah, I fully accept that and believe that. And as I was listening to you, I really was agreeing. I'm like, yeah, that's how I make that same choice. I don't like to, it feels wrong. It almost feels like, it's like kind of like when you're in the woods and you see like this long dark path over there, or like this kind of like trouble, like a little bit of leafy, you kind of can, you maybe see a little sunlight. You're like, oh, I think right, that's the right one, not that one over there. Yeah.
Totally. Exactly.
And so do you consider yourself a leader?
Yeah, I do. I think we're all leaders, because we all have people that are watching us, right? Which in that
whether
part
we like
means
it or not.
Whether we like it or not, right? I think whether we like it or not, we all have the ability to lead. I should say that. I wouldn't go as far as say we're all leaders, but we all have the ability to lead. And leading doesn't mean having a massive following or you know, fervently paving your own path. But I think it scales down to the everyday interactions and decisions. You can choose to be a leader. You can choose to hold the door open for somebody. You can choose to, when you see somebody struggling, to go offer a helping hand. That's a leader does all those things. So we have the ability. I think we all innately have the ability to lead. And the qualities that make us a leader is when we exercise on those opportunities, on those gifts that we might have, on those opportunities that present themselves, or the opportunities that we create that allow us to step into that as being a leader. So I would say, yeah, absolutely. I think that I believe that I'm a leader. I believe that you're a leader. I believe that everybody has the ability to lead. And most of us are leaders if we look at it through that lens.
Mm-hmm. And so now that we've talked a lot about leadership, what about our dreams? When do you know when you should follow your dream?
That's interesting. When do you know you should follow your dream? I always say, I heard this line, and I loved it. It's don't quit your daydream. So I think we should always be dreaming. And I think that the daydreaming and we should always be following our dream to some extent. I think that whether that means that you quit your job and you pursue, like, we all have different dreams, whatever it is. It's like, we should be practicing and following to exercise that, because we have a dream because there's probably a calling towards it. There's probably a combination of using our skills or our gifts or our expertise to go in that direction. So I think we should always be working towards those dreams as much as we possibly can. And I think that we can do it easier than, like, it doesn't have to be an all or nothing thing. Like, you can be following your dreams while also working at a 9-to-5 job. It doesn't have to be this binary yes or no, all or nothing thing. Whatever it is, whatever aspect of your dream that you want to be moving towards more, you can be taking those tangible steps day in and day out.
I agree. And I think that there's a difference between your dream and your job. And there's very few people on this earth that are lucky enough, or a better word besides luck, if that's what you want to call it, blessed, whatever.
Fortunate, sure.
Fortunate. And to be able to call the thing that they do for a living their dream.
Right. Agree.
And for me personally, it has really been my life's mission to figure that out. And it has been a struggle. It has been like one of the hardest struggles of my life to figure out how to be in perfect alignment of my dream, my authenticity, myself, and just trying to figure out where am I and where am I supposed to be and how do I show up? And it always comes down to, for me, wherever I am doing what I'm supposed to do. Wherever I am there perfectly. So that means that it doesn't mean that I have to be doing maybe something glamorous or something that I've dreamed. It doesn't necessarily have to be the maybe an entertainer or the talk show host, because that's what I always like to be, a talk show host. And so funny.
You're doing it.
That, right. And so it doesn't always look the way you want it to look. But when you are doing something that you feel like you're able to bring your full self to, you're not hiding who you are. You're not trying to negotiate who you are or bend to certain things. And you feel like when you are doing it, you feel alive. That is being in alignment, and it's being able, that is for me following my dream. Yeah. And I know that sometimes there's obstacles when we want to follow our dream. And that's kind of where I want to take this next. Uh-huh. Have you in your personal life faced any obstacles as you've tried to navigate your dream or fulfilling your full self, or, you know, trying to become just Joshua?
Right. Yeah. Great question. Yes, I'm human. So therefore I have experienced the obstacles. And I think that that's always where I like to start with that, is that it's a human thing. We all experience obstacles. And here's the biggest thing that I've learned to realize through the obstacles that I face, is that the obstacles are really the opportunities. The opportunities that come are just obstacles in disguise. Or when you run into an obstacle, it's really just an opportunity in disguise. I think about like Scooby-Doo. I used to love watching Scooby-Doo. And at the end, when they pull the mask off and they see like who the actual bad guy is, who the villain is, it's like, oh, it's you. So I always feel that way when it comes to obstacles and opportunities. I feel like the obstacle is the scary monster, and you take the mask off of the monster and you unveil the opportunity, which is really the goal. That's what the obstacle is helping you do. It's helping you grow. And I fully trust in that and believe in that. And time again, every obstacle that happens doesn't make it easier. It doesn't make the obstacles easier. The obstacles still really do suck. But if you go into it with that mindset, you can embrace and you can lean into it. And you can say, I don't know why right now, but I know, we were talking about this earlier, Chris, I don't know why right now, but I trust that this is happening for me, not to me. I know that this is going to lead towards something good. So I'm going to surrender to this obstacle. I'm going to do everything I can to keep moving forward and see the blessing in it, to see the blessing in the trenches, to see the opportunity in the obstacle. And it always, the dots connect, and you can always see. And I see time and time again, how this perceived obstacle or hardship, how much it sucked in the moment, how it was exactly what I needed to prepare me for what I asked for. It was exactly that next step in my process, in my journey. That was how that is the process of becoming. That was how I got that next clue or that next inclination to become Joshua, as you said.
Yeah. Would you call that faith?
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. You got to have faith.
Mm-hmm. Like, and a little bit of hope.
What'd you say?
A little bit of hope.
Hope, faith. Absolutely. It's like, I was just thinking about this yesterday. I was just like, I believe, like, do you believe? You got to believe. You got to have belief. You got to have faith that things are working out to you. Because yeah, if you don't have that, it's nice to talk about it. It's catchy to talk about it. It's taglines, cliches. It's on t-shirts, right? This idea, things happen for you, not to you, all of these different things. And this is all out there. But do you really believe? Are you willing to believe? It takes courage to believe. It takes faith to believe. It's not easy to believe. So like, do you do you believe? And I believe, and I work on that belief. I build that belief, because the cool thing about a belief is that a belief is just a thought that you get so good at thinking that you don't need to think it anymore. So it becomes belief. It becomes part of your operating system. I didn't always believe these things, but I've lived enough life at this point to practice this thought so many times, to practice this belief, that it has become a steadfast belief in my mind that, like, I believe this and I believe in this. And because of that, I'm finding evidence to support that belief. So whatever it is you choose to believe, you want to believe, guess what? You're going to find evidence that supports that belief. So this is just what I choose to make my dominant belief.
Mm-hmm. So what happens when the person wearing the mask is ourself?
Great question. It always is in some form or the other. And that's another belief that I have, right? Like you said something about a mirror earlier. It's all a mirror game. It is often ourself. And because the truth is, it's like any obstacle is an obstacle because we're perceiving it to be an obstacle. Something could be an obstacle for somebody, and another person could look at it and be like, that's not an obstacle. That's not an issue. Right. So it's all dependent on, it's all dependent on how you're choosing to see it and how your perspective is. So I do believe it's like we're always like that it's always us in there.
So what do you tell someone when they believe something so much and it ends up really being a limiting belief?
Yeah, I would ask them, like, does this belief serve you? What's the cost of this belief? Cause it's like, what's the cost of the belief and what's the benefit of believing this? Cause there's going to be a cost to it. There's going to be benefit to it. So I would say, it's like, first off, if they have to be aware that they want to change something in order for the belief to shift. So I think that's like first and foremost. So, if they do want to shift it, then there's ways to look at how do you shift this belief, but they have to want to change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very much that thing. It's like you can't help someone that doesn't want to be helped.
Yeah, totally.
And they can't ask for help if they don't know that they need help.
Right.
And I think that's one of the struggles of our entire life, mm-hmm. is to ask for help when we need help. But it's identifying the moment when we need help. And for me, I believe that we all need a little help every now and then.
For sure.
Or all the time.
All the time. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, we needed help when we were younger. We all need help. We get by with a little help from my friends, right? I love that song.
Right.
It's like, I get by with a little help from my friends. That's the truth. And lucky we got mentors and coaches and therapists and different people who can really help us.
Help. What were you going to say?
Yeah. Because we all need help.
Yeah, we do. You mentioned Scooby-Doo earlier. What's your favorite character?
Ooh, great question. I really like Shaggy because Shaggy is just, he's got a great heart, and he just, like, he seemingly always happens to, like, the things that also get him into trouble or like is that same thing that also helps him be the hero, right? So I like Shaggy.
Yeah, you remind me of Shaggy a little bit. And I think you and Scooby are always in trouble. Come on.
I love it. No, exactly. Awesome. Always.
I love that. One thing that I really wanted to make sure that I asked you was, because we've talked about that there's people that sometimes hinder us from dreams. And then I ask you about when we hinder ourselves. Mm-hmm. What about those people that are closest to us? How do you navigate when it's like our mother, father, sister, brother?
Yeah, that's tough. In what way do you mean navigating it?
Meaning, how do you pursue what you believe when
Other people might be holding you back.
When other people may be holding you back.
Yeah. You lead by example. This is like feedback that they give to a lot of people, especially when you want others to change. You lead by example and you show them, you pave the path for them. You be the leader and you lead by example versus trying to talk or to convince someone to do something else. But if you're in a situation where you feel like you're being held back by others, then find people who don't hold you back. That's my podcast I host is called Find the Others. And it's just about that. It's about finding the other people, finding the others out there who are supportive. The other, you're finding your tribe, finding the people that make you, that support you and make you come alive. That's made all the difference for me. I'm very grateful to that my parents do support me and they are others in my life in that way. But I also have surrounded myself with amazing friends that do just that for me. And some friends that I've had have not been that. And so I've navigated away from those people and towards the other people in my life that are that way and that do have that way, because they are out there for sure.
How do you find the others?
That's a great question. How do you find the others? You find the others by putting yourself out there. You find the others by understanding and asking yourself who you are and seeking to understand what are the values that you hold true. What are the importance and the perspectives that you want to bring to life. And once you can start, it's an internal process. Once you embody that and you start practicing that, guess what? You're going to become a magnet for those other types of people. And you're going to meet those other people. You're going to find those other people out there. But it starts with understanding and deciding, hey, I want to change some things here, or I want to get better at this. And it's that internal process that makes finding the others become easy.
Does that work with relationships, like in romantic relationships too?
I think so. I'd like to believe so. I don't have a girlfriend that I can say, yes, this has happened yet, but I do believe so. And that's my belief. So I believe it's an internal game. Just like you were saying about the mask or the mirror. I really do believe that.
What's your dream?
What's my dream? My dream is to continue to live the life of my dream, and through the process of doing that, inspire others to do the same thing.
When have you not lived your dream?
It's a funny thing, because I feel like even in those times where I felt like I wasn't living my dream, I was living my dream, because it was bringing me closer and closer and closer to really living my dream. Right. So that's one way you could look at it, that I might subscribe to that belief. But when have I not been living my dream? It's funny, cause I could say that when I was working in a job that I didn't really like, doing nothing related to the things that I do now, that I was working for somebody else, that I wasn't living my dream, but there were aspects of that I was living my dream. I was learning, I was growing, I was investing, I was into myself and into my development. So there was always, I felt like there was always elements and times where I was choosing to live my dream in various ways. Might not be as present or as big as, pronounced as some other ways that you can live a dream, but it's still in those various aspects.
So in a way, the times when you were helping someone else build their dream, you were in essence building your own.
Certainly. Certainly.
Isn't that funny how that works out?
Yeah. Pretty crazy.
And I think it sometimes takes time to realize that, because oftentimes when we are in that 9-to-5 shuffle and feeling like this is not for me, right? Cause isn't that what you used to ask? Like, what is this here? Is this for me or?
Yeah. Is this happening to me or for me?
For me.
How's this happening for me?
Yeah. And this is, and you get to a point where I don't think this is really for me. In those moments, that's when you really got to dig a little bit deeper to ask yourself, what can I learn from this situation?
Yep.
How can this situation propel me into my next place?
right? What is this? How is this informing my,
because you have such a positive mindset and you're not going to be at the same level as some of the listeners because you're able to communicate and say, even when I'm at this job that I didn't like, I still found glee and joy. And that's true because that's how you see it. Mm-hmm. But there's people like right now that are in it. They are in the what we call the valleys. You know, when you're in the valleys, totally. It's so dark, you don't see that light.
Yeah.
And for me, my dream is to be that light for some.
Yeah, that's great.
And to shine a little bit of light in that darkness so that you can find your way.
It's great.
You know,
yeah, and totally.
Because there's been many times when I've been on a journey or been on a path and I followed people or I've been on the road not taken and it was a little dark. It was a lot dark. It's like if anybody's ever been on a boat out in sea and like when you really get far out in the sea where and it's nighttime.
Yeah.
It's pitch black. Like there's no, all you got is you and the stars in that ocean. It can either be a very scary feeling or it could be one of the most serene,
totally
calming moments of your life because you realize how small you are in relation to this wide ocean. But in that darkness, you really can focus and really for me, I mean, that's the only, it's funny how it takes darkness for you to see the stars.
Yeah, definitely.
And especially when, remember when we grew up in elementary school or whenever we learned about the different constellations, like the Big Dipper, and you can only see it in the pitch dark. In the city, because I grew up in the city. I'm a city boy, but I always, my family's from the country. So whenever I get to go to the country, I always was able to see the stars more. But in the city, it's like you barely get a chance to see one star. But now when you are in complete darkness, you can see the beauty of the sky.
Totally. Yeah,
and that's a great paradox. That's really about changing the way you see things and changing the way you see yourself and circumstance. And that's what you were saying about when you were talking about building a dream and living your dream and being a leader and choosing who to follow and keeping on that path, even though we sometimes are our own limiting beliefs. We can all take off that mask and find our way because sometimes that mask is what's holding us back because you can't see sometimes. You know, I'm going to let you go because I know that we're almost done with the show, but one of my favorite people is Batman. And I think that mask must be so tight. But at least he has like those eye, you can see through the eyes.
Right.
Imagine those other superheroes or anyone else, especially during Halloween, whenever you want to dress up like someone, when you always put on that mask or that costume, you feel so hot. You just, all you want to do is take it off.
Right.
And I think that that's what it feels like when you're not your true self.
Yeah, I like that.
You just want to take it off to release it, be free of it.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes I think we end up being so scared if we take off this mask or we take off this costume, you're going to see the real me.
Mm-hmm. And that's scary.
And if you see the real me, you may not like what you see. And I can't deal with that. I can deal with you judging me in the costume, but I can't deal with you judging who I really am.
Totally. Yep.
I always ask everyone this question. What do you think, what is living openly to you? What does that mean to you?
To me, it means living aligned with your highest version of yourself. It means living aligned with how you want to, how you want to be. I think it's authenticity. I think that's what living openly means. I think it means living, being, having the courage to take off the mask and let your true light shine. Let your real face breathe. I think that's what it means to me.
I love that. And you earlier, I was asking you, what do you call yourself? And you said the operations specialist or something like that. And then what I really, really am holding on to right now is finding the others. Because even I so desperately, especially like I said, in this moment of COVID, in this pandemic, what I desperately am looking for are other people that are like me, that are taking off the mask.
Yeah.
And living their true selves. And because it's still, just because we take off the mask doesn't mean it's not scary. And there's not moments of intrepidation. Still need support because we're all human, right?
That's it. Absolutely.
And I am so glad that I was able to find you and you were able to come on the show and talk about this with me. I feel like I have found one of the others.
One of the others. That's it.
By having you on the show.
Absolutely. You are certainly one of the others, brother. It's a pleasure to connect. Thanks for having me on. And yeah, I say that all the time. It's like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. You're one of the others. Like you're with it. You get it. So yeah, it's a pleasure, man.
I appreciate that. And people can find you on Instagram, and your podcast is on all streaming platforms.
Yep,
Apple, Spotify, wherever
that's
you can
right.
stream podcasts.
That's right.
All right. Well, I enjoy talking to you.
Same. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much,
welcome.
Chris.
You're always welcome back.
I appreciate it. We'll definitely do it again sometime soon.
All right. Bye bye.
Take care.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode. Keep the conversation going on Instagram. Visit livingopenly.com to find out how you can start living openly today. See you next week.